I hear people talking right about the way we have to live here in this country. Harping on wars we fight and griping about the way things ought to be. Tonight I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my countrymen, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting men talking down to me. If you don't love it, leave it, let this song I'm singing be warning. You're running down my countryman, you're walking on the fight beside me. Just how long the rest of us can count on being free. They love our milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. When they're running down my country horse, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting in the fort and died to be. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be warned. When you're running down my country, man, you're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting in the fort. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be warned. When you run down my country, man, you're walking on the right beside me.
Yes, when you're running down my country, you're walking down the fighting side of me. That's the name of this program here on altrighttv.com or whiteresistanceradio.com. Well, more news and views for our people, and of course those are the European founding settler people of the Dominion of Canada, the United States of America, the Dominions of Australia and New Zealand, the Republic of South Africa, Rhodesia, and all of you who may be listening this morning in the European heartland. Here is a very good write-up by a long-time observer of American politics, and he was a member of the Nixon administration. This is Paul Craig Roberts. Anti-white racism is real in America. He was in the Reagan administration. Former Assistant Treasury Secretary in the Reagan administration, Paul Craig Roberts, an award-winning journalist, says the ideology fueling riots in America is dangerous and anti-white. Dr. Roberts explains, they are trying to give impunity to violence that is conducted in the name of opposing white racism. If you want to take action against white racism, which includes all white people, because by definition, if you are white, you are racist, so any violence against white racism is therefore tolerated because it would be illegitimate to try to stop that violence. This is the reason the Democrats have not taken any action to prevent, quell, or control the rioting, looting, and burning. Law and order is white privilege, and white privilege upholds white racism, and therefore law and order is in the way of justice. So that's the way they reason. And this kind of reasoning has been shaping up over a period of many years. It's part of cultural Marxism. It's part of identity politics. And now it's come into its own. What people don't know, because they're so brainwashed, is the real racism in America today is anti-white racism. It's the whites who suffer racism. They're the ones who suffer the racism. On the economy and surging gold and silver prices, Dr. Roberts, who holds a PhD in economics, says, quote, after many years of quantitative easing and all the money that came out, and now after all the money that came out over COVID and ran up many trillions of dollars, of additional money, money creation, and with the economy still very bad, and with lots of unemployment and lost businesses and budget deficits we are running, it's finally dawning on a few people that they may be printing too much money for it to be worth much. However, they can't print gold and silver. So maybe we should own some gold and silver. Of course, recently the dollar index has been falling. The dollar is losing a bit of value relative to other paper currencies that I guess have not printed as much. I think what you're seeing here is awareness that so much paper money has been printed for so long, it is being printed now, and it looks like it will be printed into the future, that some people are overcoming the propaganda against gold and silver. They are saying we should have some because at least we have something they cannot print. In other words, something of value. Dr. Roberts says it will someday
come down
to one extremely difficult choice for the Fed. That's the Federal Reserve, of course. Dr. Roberts contends the way you can measure the pressure on the dollar is rising gold and silver prices. So if gold and silver continue to go up, and you see the dollar under pressure, at some point the Fed is going to have to make a decision. Do they continue to support the stock and bond market to keep financial asset prices up, or do they let that go and allow interest rates to rise to draw people back into the dollar? That will be a new kind of crisis. I can't predict when it will happen, but at some point, if the dollar becomes in danger as the world's reserve currency, that goes to the heart of the United States power. That tends to prevail over other considerations. Dr. Roberts says, when gold hits 2,500 to 3,000 per ounce, the Fed will know it has a problem. Well, gold is now over $2,000 an ounce and has been for several weeks. Sharp comments. I've repeatedly talked about the incredible repression in the Australian state of Victoria. That's where the city of Melbourne is located. It's a state of about 6.5 million people. They have only a couple hundred, had only a couple hundred deaths from coronavirus. There was a slight, that's what they call spike or increase recently. And they introduced the sort of Stalinist police state that you could only imagine in places like the Soviet Union or worse. Where the police can barge in on your dwelling without a warrant to check that you are following the various police state mandates. Masks are required almost everywhere. People are not allowed out of their dwellings except for very, very limited reasons. One person per family to shop within 3 miles of where you live. You're only allowed out for a very limited number of reasons, that a medical appointment, shopping for food, or to go to your job if it's an essential service, and you'll be questioned as to where you're going, and it's up to you to prove it. Well, here is a scary 2-minute video. It's chilling. It's a pregnant woman being arrested and handcuffed in her pajamas at her home, all because she apparently shared a post on Facebook about the lockdown protests in Melbourne. Is this Australia? This is not the country I grew up in. Now, this is not me saying that. Believe me, this is coming to Queensland. That's another state. Unless we kick out these arrogant tyrants. And this is actually from Jeffrey Hodges, who is running for office in Queensland. So I'm going to play this video. It's shocking what's happened to this woman.
I have no idea why you guys are doing this. Yeah, you can show me your search warrant before you go through my house. Search warrant for what?
Now, what I will explain to you is if you want to listen, you got your phone going?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Now, you're under arrest in relation to incitement.
Incitement?
Yeah, you're not obliged to start doing anything, but anything you start doing, maybe giving them...
Excuse me, incitement for what? What on earth? Excuse me, what on earth?
Just put your phone down.
Can you,
The woman's in her pajamas.
She's pregnant, so...
She's pregnant. She's handcuffed.
What's this about?
Can I have an ultrasound just in an hour?
Let me finish
an
ultrasound. In relation to a Facebook post, in relation to a lockdown protest, you put on for that day.
Yeah, and I wasn't breaking any laws by
you. You are, actually. You are breaking all. That's why I'm arresting you. In relation to...
How can you arrest her? That's... Can't you just say to her to take the post down? Like, come on.
I'm not going to delete the post. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's her husband.
She's done it. She made a post.
So
that's an offence.
Now, search warrant. Time is up, and we're required to seize any computer, any mobile devices. Yes.
Yeah. Can I just get your bags there, mate?
It's all there.
That's the husband speaking. Any device in this house we're taking. This is absolutely horrific and shocking. This woman arrested, handcuffed. She's pregnant on her way to an ultrasound. And you have to remember why. The nonviolent expression of her views announcing an anti-COVID protest. She's being charged with incitement, and the police, with the warrant apparently, steal all her electronic devices, her cell phone and so on. And the person who sent this to me says, Communist Russia is alive and well in Australia. Welcome to the New World Order. That's why we collectively need to step up and stop this tyranny. And it may be a little worse in the state of Victoria in Australia, than it is in in Canada, and it varies from province to province, but the definitely in all provinces and in Britain and in most countries in the West, there is real tyranny. Speaking of Paul Craig Roberts, this is a shocking article by him in the Lou Rockwell report. Does Western civilization have a future, or is it already in its grave? Sandia National Laboratories, I might digress for a moment, is another one of these big corporations that gladly collaborates with tyranny, with big government, and oppresses, tries to gag its own workers and subject them to brutal anti-white propaganda. Anyway, Sandia National Laboratories, a U.S. government-funded nuclear weapons developer, requires its white employees to be subjected to indoctrination in training sessions in which critical race theory propagandists tell the white employees that they are racist because they have white privilege due to their skin color. You just get that. Your employer requires you to sit down and allow some Marxist, some weedy little Marxist fanatic to indoctrinate you, to tell you that if you're white, you are a racist, and they have white privilege because of the skin, the color of their skin, even though the company is probably hiring blacks who are unworthy or unqualified or lesser qualified simply because of the color of their skin. One of the abused white employees, Casey Peterson, produced a video that rejected the propaganda of systemic white racism and white privilege. As whites throughout the U.S. experienced this sort of abuse from their government and private employees, the video went viral. Sandia's white executives locked Peterson out of Scandia's email network so he could not receive support from his 16,000 fellow workers who have had enough of self-hating white bosses bad-mouthing white employees. The anti-white bosses at Sandia have been identified as James Peary, director, Dory Ellis, associate director, David White, head of Cyber Research and Development Center, and Mark Sellers, associate director for the Mission Assurance Division. These self-hating whites, quote, have made it clear that they want to force critical race theory, race-segregated trainings, and white male re-education camps on their employees. All dissent will be severely punished. Those who accept the re-education will be the ones promoted. Those who reject their brainwashing will be purged. This is happening during the Trump administration. Does this mean that Trump approves of the use of taxpayers' dollars to force-feed white employees of government-funded companies that they are racists? No. As a person who spent a quarter of a century in Washington, this is Paul Craig Roberts, who worked during the Reagan administration, I can tell you that the presidents know only a small percentage of the decisions government makes during their term of office. Most of the people in government are serving themselves, not the president and not the public. And they serve themselves by serving private interest groups. They become lobbyists inside the government for private interests. This basic fact makes mincemeat of the liberal hope of a do-good government. The question that needs to be an answer is, why are the white executives who run Sandia destroying the confidence of white employees in the white race? If Congress really represented the American people, there would be an investigation. And this is Paul Craig Roberts writing that. There would be an investigation. The corrupt Sandia executives who are using taxpayers' money to teach their white employees to hate themselves for their racist sins have put Peterson on administrative leave while they try to concoct a case that, quote, his actions have comprised or posed a threat to Sandia's computing and security systems. Well, I shouldn't laugh. That's what they're trying to do. Of course, the corrupt anti-white racist executives will find out that Peterson comprised a threat to the security systems by objecting to anti-white propaganda. What is going on at Sandia is going on at every level of government, state, local, and federal. It is also going on at private companies, both public and private. For example, this is Paul Craig Robertson saying this, he says, I know of a software engineer employed by a private company who had to go to a sensitivity training session where white male employees had to stand up and be identified as oppressors of the female and non-white employees. I mean, this is psychological abuse. There are now large numbers of firms whose service is to denigrate white males as mandatory sensitivity training sessions that are now part of employment obligations at private, government, and government-funded companies. Because of the far-reaching popularity of my columns, I receive numerous emails from white male employees describing how much they hate their jobs because of the hostility of their female and black bosses toward white males. They pray for an Asian boss, Chinese, Japanese, Korean, because they judge them by performance, not by an anti-white male ideology. White bosses are unreliable because they got to be bosses by being self-hating white males. What I have reported is the facts of today. Yet we hear continually that being white is a privilege. This alleged privilege, if it exists, is very rare. No white male, unless he's self-hating, has male privilege at Sandia National Laboratories, nor at my friend's software company. In her book, The Blackening of Europe, Claire Ellis describes the ideas that over the decades deracinated the white European ethnicities of confidence in their race, culture, and achievement. This confidence-destroying deracination has enabled the ongoing, largely unopposed riots and looting in numerous American cities. The white liberals who govern these cities lack the confidence to maintain law and order. They've been convinced that law and order is a white privilege. Whether or not Trump wins re-election, Western civilization may be in its grave, killed by white liberals and Jews from the Frankfurt School imported into America. Today, but if Trump loses re-election fairly, it will be definite proof that the structure of belief that upholds Western civilization has completely collapsed, and white people themselves will have voted their own demise. This is a really scary scenario. I have talked to a patriot earlier today, she told me of an acquaintance of hers who has decided to. Canada's hopeless. Canada, is essentially doomed, and he's moving to Costa Rica for the rest of his life. I've actually had the same offer made to me some years ago by a good supporter who said basically the struggle is hopeless, Canada isn't worth saving, the people are lazy or unmotivated, you're just wasting your time, there's a great place to go in Costa Rica, and he was explaining a certain condo arrangement and how great it was and how safe it was and so on. I get it. I've heard that argument. My opinion is, first of all, we cannot accurately predict history. That's the reality. We can't. We can't predict what wild cards may come along and throw all the bets out on their ear. We can't. Our job is not to guess whether we're going to win or not. The fact is, we don't know. All we do know with certainty is this. If we do something, whatever it is, according to our lights, we may lose. But if we do nothing, we will lose. That's the choice. You can pull out of the the battle. Do nothing. And hope, pray, that somehow maybe things will turn out all right. But you've essentially given up. However, if you continue to act, we may win. And that's really what it comes down to. To do nothing is easy. To give in is easy. And I was explaining to my friend, what your friend has done is essentially given himself a good reason to do nothing. You see, if you say it's lost, it's all hopeless, then you excuse yourself for doing nothing, right? Because it's hopeless, I'm okay for having done nothing. But if you say there is hope, however faint, and you do nothing, well, then there, even in your own subconscious, you are in some ways morally in the wrong. And I think this is perhaps a subtle point, but I think it's well worth remembering that we sometimes adopt views to for our own convenience. Of course, it's very, very extremely convenient if you say that, well, it's hopeless, and therefore you're justified in doing nothing. I sometimes think that is a incredibly self-indulgent, self-justification. Well, don't think that it's only in Australia that crazy things happen. I know this reporter for Rebel News. Rebel News is a online news service organized by Ezra Levant, who's a Zionist Jew, but who's really strongly in favor of freedom. I've known Ezra on and off for a good many years. And one of his reporters is one who's covered the end the lockdown protests at Queen's Park, which I attend regularly. His name is David Menzies, and he was arrested in Brampton. He was arrested yesterday, Wednesday. "We need your help immediately to get him out of jail," writes Ezra. "We've got a lawyer on the case right now. We don't know yet if David will have to post bail, and if so, how much it will be. We don't yet know when his first appearance in court will be, but we need your help." David wasn't doing anything wrong. He was doing his job. In this case, working on a news report about Patrick Brown. Patrick Brown is the mayor of Brampton, but he used to be the provincial Conservative leader, and he was a real wishy-washy person. You'll remember Brown. He's the Ontario mayor who shut down hockey arenas for time for kids, most secretly playing private hockey games in one of the same arenas with his buddies. And David caught him red-handed. That's the reporter David Menzies. David and I went back to the same arena today doing a follow-up story. We were on a sidewalk on public property doing accountability journalism in the public interest. But then police pulled up and ordered them to stop and to leave. Except that's not how a democracy works. Peaceful journalists doing journalism on public property can't just be shooed away by politicized cops running an errand for an angry mayor. We don't live in China. Well, technically you're right, but the spirit of Red China imbues much of government. And of course, our own trust fund kid prime minister admires Red China. You can get things done there. Yeah, I'm a former lawyer, so I know our rights. But we brought along another top lawyer, Goody Mammon, to help make the case. We know the law for public places. It's not the same as for private property. People can only kick people out of private public property under limited circumstances, such as breaking noise bylaws. Obviously, none of that applied. Literally, David was literally put in a police car and taken away. Our lawyer, Goody, is on the way to the courthouse right now to make bail for David. Hopefully, we'll get him out of jail right away. But at this point, it's not certain. He might be held in jail overnight. We intend to fight like hell and to investigate the role of Patrick Brown, the mayor, as to why a whole squad of police cars was dispatched to arrest a peaceful journalist. That doesn't make it sound like a police decision. That sounds like a political decision. I'm furious right now. This is Ezra Levant. But I know we'll win and justice will prevail. We've got a team of lawyers working on this full tilt. This is a further example of the absolutely outrageous. And it is outrageous. Power of the state. A reporter arrested on public property for doing a report. Ezra asks, as he states, this is not Red China. Well, not yet, but we're getting close. So when we read these horrific stories from Australia, unfortunately, we've got ones that come pretty close from right here in the Dominion of Canada. This is an interesting report sent my way by Dr. James Sanchez, and he's a great source of information from the United States. He's a great researcher, and this is a report on some of the censorship and cover-up about this very brave young man, Rittenhouse, who was attacked by Antifa last week in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, and fought back, shot back, and killed two of the Antifa, both of them Jews, one of them already on the sex registry for kiddie diddling. This is a really important free speech story. And I'm just about to call this up for you. Just give me a second here. Right now I'm not able to alibi that the computer hookup time is slow. Okay, this is a Rittenhouse censorship.
Sorry to bring you another downer of a video, but I may be getting banned from Facebook any minute now, and I don't want you to get banned too. So I'll tell you the terrible thought crime that I committed, and we'll talk about some of the other high-profile people who have also just been censored by social media this week. Facebook took down this video that I posted showing Kyle Rittenhouse helping one of the protesters in Kenosha on the night of the incident after she was struck in the foot with a projectile, and that he had his first aid kit with him to show that he did not go to the city, like the mainstream media says, to cause trouble or to go and attack the protesters. But like I said in yesterday's video, you're not allowed to actually defend him in any way because he's been labeled a dangerous individual, according to Facebook's standards. And as we know from Facebook whistleblower Ryan Hartwig, who I interviewed on this channel maybe a month or two ago, you're not allowed to PSR, praise, support, or represent anybody who is on the dangerous individual list. I didn't glorify, celebrate, or praise him. I simply showed a non-graphic video and explained in very plain terms exactly what the video showed. They gave me this wonderful notice saying that they don't allow symbols, praise, or support of dangerous individuals or organizations. And they define those things as terrorist activity, organized hate or violence, mass or serial murder, human trafficking, or criminal or harmful activity. My page has over 800,000 people following it. In the last week alone, it reached almost 6 million people. And so not only did they give me a community guideline strike and take the post down, but they also restricted the page's reach because I violated the terms 3 times in 90 days, so they say. 2 weeks ago, I got a strike for posting that funny Joe and the Ho meme, and they said that was bullying Kamala Harris. But they gave me 2 strikes for that one post. And what a surprise, the day before yesterday, Vice News wrote an article complaining about how much support Kyle Rittenhouse was getting, and they included me in that list, and then the very next day, Facebook censors a post of mine about Kyle Rittenhouse. Facebook is also taking down any post and giving community guideline strikes if you happen to post a link to the crowdfunding website that's been set up by his legal defense at fightback.law. And I specifically didn't link to it because I knew that they would be doing that, and I've been seeing posts on social media. People are getting community guideline strikes for actually helping the kid raise money for his defense at fightback.law. But it doesn't stop there. Twitter also suspended Lynn Wood, one of his lawyers, Nick Sandman's lawyer, because he posted something defending his clients on Twitter. And you're not allowed to, you know, PSR, praise, support, or represent. So now his own legal team is getting suspended, censored from social media. Of course, Talcum X, Sean King, that white Black Lives Matter supporter who pretends to be black, he's never censored from social media despite all of his doxing and harassment and threats, because liberals, as we know, are above the social media terms of service. And what a surprise, a day or two after the New York Times wrote an article about prominent black conservatives like the Hodge twins and Terrence K. Williams, their Facebook pages started to get community guideline strikes as well. Literally the biggest 3 black conservatives on Facebook, the Hodge twins, Terrence K. Williams, and Candace Owens, have all had their pages restricted after being hit with multiple community guideline strikes. In other censorship news, Joe Rogan moved his podcast from iTunes and YouTube over to Spotify exclusively after he signed a $100 million deal not long ago. And I could have told you, Joe, that with that kind of money, there comes some strings. Fans immediately noticed that the entire Joe Rogan library was not available on Spotify, and that certain very popular episodes were mysteriously missing. One of those missing was his interview with Alex Jones, which was the most popular Joe Rogan podcast for several years until I think Joe Rogan interviewed Elon Musk and then maybe bumped that one down to number 2. But Spotify doesn't think that it's important to have one of Joe's most popular interviews ever to be available to be heard. Other interviews which are mysteriously missing, which of course don't fit a pattern at all, are Gavin McGinnis, Milo Yiannopoulos, Stefan Molyneux, Sargon of Akkad, and Owen Benjamin. Yesterday, Alex Jones posted a video explaining that he got a flood of calls and text messages first thing in the morning from people alerting him about this and asking him if he knew what was going on. He called Joe. Joe said that there was just a problem transferring the files over to Spotify or something, which means that either Joe is full of crap or Spotify is full of crap, and Joe knows it, but he's now stuck between a rock and a hard place. Spotify may end up actually adding them and try to cover their tracks and say it was just a mistake, but I think it's pretty clear what's going on here. And a lot of fans feel let down because Joe said the show's going to be exactly the same. Don't worry about a thing. I'm just going to collect that $100 million and there will be no strings attached. Now, Joe did say that he's going to have Alex on the show and that Spotify doesn't control who he can and cannot have on, so that's going to be an interesting interview. I'll just be happy if I can make it through the election without getting banned from any of the major social media platforms, or at least until we find out who won the election, because we may not find out on election night, or we may not find out for weeks. And once we do find out, whether it is President Trump or, God forbid, Joe Biden, the social media censorship is only going to increase incrementally. If Trump wins, they're going to shut us down because they're going to blame us being able to communicate. If Trump loses, they're still going to shut us down because now they're going to be emboldened, and without him having the bully pulpit to push back, they're just going to roll right over us. Either way, I'm pretty sure that my days are numbered. So if you want to support my channel and get yourself an awesome shirt, show support for the president, the police, or finding a cure for the liver pathogen, head on over to my online store at markdice.com or click the link in the description below and check them out!
Well, this is Paul Fromm. You're on the Fighting Side of Me. Going to take my musical break right now here on altrighttv.com or whiteresistanceradio.com. I'm going to play a few songs from some of the queens of country music from the 60s and 70s. And hope you like it. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the Fighting Side of Me. Len Anderson.
I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden along with the sunshine. There's gotta be a little rain sometime. When you take, you gotta give. So live and let live or let go. I beg your pardon. You things like big diamond rings, but you don't find roses growing on stalks of clover. So you better think it over. When it's sweet talking, you could make it come true. I would give you the world right now on a silver platter. After all, he's just a man.
That's Donna Fargo.
I wish I had button eyes and a red felt nose, a shaggy cotton skin and just one set of clothes, sitting on a shelf in a local department store. With no dreams to dream and nothing to be sorry for.
I wish I was a teddy bear, not living or loving, not going nowhere. I wish I
I wish I was a teddy bear. ribbon from my hair. Shake it loose and let it fall. Laying soft against your skin, like the shadows on the wall. Come and lay down by my side till the early morning light. All I'm taking is your time. Help me make it through the night.
This is Paul Farrell. You're on the fighting side of me. And I sign off tonight, as I always do, with the anthem of the real Canada, the Maple Leaf Forever. This is Paul Farrell, and you're on the fighting side of me.
Days of yore, from Britain's shore, over the
Thank you.